I think that reading deserves a round of applause, don't you? Awesome. Well, it's so good to see you guys. You're absolutely fine. Where are you going? I want it. No, I don't want it that high. It was fine. Yeah, that's great. Wow, that's high. So good to have you here. If you don't normally come to church or you're not being, I just want to say you are so, so welcome. We're thrilled that you chose to celebrate Christmas with us. And in true Christmas style, I thought we'd start with a quiz. Anyone up for a quiz?
Yep.
It's a very short quiz. But here is a picture, and I think only a few of you will get the answer. But what is the link between these four characters? What is the link between these four characters? Anyone? It's going to take someone very brainy and a little bit nerdy to know the answer. They all made a claim about themselves using the words, I am. So if you're of a certain age, you'll understand you've got Kirk Douglas, who made the claim, I am Spartacus. Yep, very good. Thank you. Thank you. If you can go back a little bit further in time, you've got Patrick McGowan, who starred in The Prisoner, who said, I am not a number, but I am a free man. And then you've got Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, who said,
I am Groot.
Any good impressions in the room? No, no one wants to hear an impression of I am Groot. And then lastly, you've got Jesus Christ, who said quite a few things using the terms I am. But tonight we're just going to look really briefly at his saying, I am the good shepherd. And so I want to read a little bit of the Bible to you. It's from John 10, verses 10 to 15. Hopefully it'll come on the screen. This is Jesus speaking. He says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay my life down for the sheep. So this is Jesus speaking. It's about 2,000 years ago. He's speaking at a massive winter celebration that is now called Hanukkah, which is the Feast of Dedication. And you might not have heard of that unless you are a Friends super fan and remember Ross dressing up as the holiday armadillo in attempt to teach his son about Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is when the Jewish people fight back against ungodly leadership and rededicate themselves to God. So Hanukkah is a season for Jewish people where they ask the hard questions about failed leadership, about compromise, about false shepherds. And so Jesus understood the mood of the city. And in the middle of that, he talked about the sort of leader that he is. And he begins by saying something absolutely fundamental about his mission. He says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So right now, the church calls this season leading up to Christmas Advent. And Advent is, I guess, this time before the birth of Christ, which is marked to be a season where we reflect and we ponder and we consider where you find in life. And I think if you get a chance to do that this Christmas, deep down, all of us want life to the full. Like very few of us in the room want an awful life. Like we all want a good life. Most of us want our time here to count. We want to enjoy it. We want to be happy. We want to be content and fulfilled. But the question that I guess Jesus is prompting is who or what can lead you to that sort of life? Jesus claims to be the only person that can do it. We see, in ancient times, the shepherd, his whole wealth and well-being was made up in the sheep that he owned. So compared to someone who's hired just to look after the sheep, everything that the shepherd had, for a true shepherd had, was wrapped up in the flock. So Jesus, the shepherd, says, we, his sheep, are his glory, his pride, his wealth, his joy. And he says something startling in verse 12. Should be on the screen. He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. So when Jesus looks at us as the shepherd, he sees something or someone that belongs to him. He's not a hired hand. He's not going to bail in the day of trouble. In fact, he says in this text, when the wolf comes, he will not flee. He won't abandon us, but he will stand in the gap and he will break the wolf's teeth. Jesus says in verse 11, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And it's interesting, the wolf, I guess, is talking about wolves that attack sheep. But in Jesus's mind, the wolf isn't just some random difficulty that might befall us. But he's talking about the greatest enemy that faces mankind, which is sin and death. And what he says here, in the face of a snarling, bloody, evil, horrible sense of impending doom, which is the wolf, he says, I will not run away, I will not flee, I will not abandon you because I'm not a hired hand, but rather I'm going to lay my life down for you to kill the wolf once and for all. So this is where things might get a little bit complicated, but I want to make it as simple as possible because I want to just tell you in a nutshell why Jesus had to kill this wolf called sin. And it's the central message of Christianity. I'm going to explain it using three circles. In the first circle, you've got brokenness. And I think most of us would agree we live in a pretty broken world. We're surrounded by broken lives and broken relationships and broken systems. And the brokenness we see is sort of seen in suffering and violence and poverty and pain and death all around us. And Christmas is actually a time for some of us where we connect with that brokenness, where we sort of finally stop and we just get to look around us and realize that we're exhausted, that some of our relationships are a bit broken, and the world that we live in seems to be falling apart at times. And what that brokenness does that's in our world, it makes us look for a way to make life work despite it. However, rather than turn to God, most of us look for the stuff that our culture tells us to make us feel better. But you and I know that ultimately it doesn't work. And if you speak to someone, and perhaps at a Christmas party, or someone's had a few drinks, and you get a little bit of honesty, and you ask them truly how their life is going, the most overwhelming feeling, I think, in society today is disappointment. Like there's this undercurrent that life is not what we all hoped it would be. In contrast to the brokenness, we also, in our world, see loads of beauty. We see purpose. We see evidence of God's perfect design all around us. And the Bible tells us that God originally planned for a world where everything worked perfectly and everything fit together in harmony. And God made each one of us with this purpose to worship him. And so life just doesn't work when we ignore God and this original design for our lives, when we sort of selfishly insist that we want to do things our way. And the Bible calls that attitude sin. We all sin and distort this original design. And the consequence of that sin is this separation from God. And it's in this life, but also for all eternity. And that is the wolf that stalks us, all of us. Because sin always leads to brokenness. And I know it's not very Christmassy to talk like this. You know, about 10 years ago, I had something go wrong with my knee. And it got massively inflamed. And for probably 2 years or so, I really struggled to walk on it. There was a time where Pip had to push me around in a wheelchair. I couldn't like climb the stairs. It was absolute agony. And I had tablets, I had physiotherapy, I even had an operation. But every guess the doctors took at my condition caused more and more frustration. And finally, after 2 years, someone found out what was actually wrong. But it was really tough because the diagnosis was that I had a form of arthritis that would never go away, that would only get worse, but could be managed with the right medication. See, a harsh diagnosis that is true is kinder than a vague diagnosis that does nothing to cure your condition. Like, a harsh diagnosis is better in the long run. And so I just want to put it out there that the Bible's diagnosis of what is wrong in the world and in us can seem really harsh, but I suggest it's a kindness. We can never defeat the wolf of sin on our own. We have wounds we cannot heal. We have guilt we cannot remove. We have shame that won't go away. But because of his love, God did not leave us in our brokenness. And this is what we call the gospel, the good news. Jesus, God in human flesh, came to us. That's why Christmas is such a big deal. Jesus comes and lives this perfect life according to God's design. Jesus comes to rescue and do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He takes our sin and our shame to the cross. He pays the penalty for our sin by his death. And that is the gospel, the good shepherd laying his life down for his sheep. He kills the wolf. Now, I heard recently of a pastor who made a trip to India, and in India, he came across one of those men who sort of sit cross-legged, and there's a basket in front of them, and they've got a little flute, and as they play the flute, the cobra comes out of the basket, and it is quite scarily close to the man playing the flute. And I don't know if you would ever dare play the flute, but I definitely wouldn't. But what the guy found out is that the cobra's mouth is actually glued shut. And so this snake can't actually bite the guy. And I guess in a nutshell, that is what Christ has done to sin and death. He's broken its teeth through his death and resurrection. Sadly, sin is still around. Death is still around. But he has broken the back of it. Now, simply hearing this amazing news isn't enough. We must admit our sinful brokenness and stop trusting in ourselves. We need to recognize the shepherd's voice. And the Bible uses two really brilliant words to describe that: repent and believe. Because we don't have this power to escape the brokenness on our own, we need to be rescued. Or put it this way, we need to be these lost sheep that have to be found. And to do that, we ask God for forgiveness. We turn from our sin to trust in Jesus. And that's what it means to repent and believe. You know, some people say that seeing is believing, but I think it works the other way around. Believing is seeing. When you believe in Jesus, you see what you're really made for, which is relationship with God. When God restores your relationship with him, we begin to discover meaning and purpose in a broken world. If you've come with a Christian friend today, like, I would just ask them when you get a chance, like, what is your purpose in life? Like what really motivates you? Because as a Christian, you see that God has made you for something more than just surviving in this world. You have life to the full because God's Spirit comes and lives in you. And that is why Christmas is a big deal. Christmas is this huge big neon sign reminding us that we have this baby in a manger that grows up to kill the wolf of sin by laying his life down for us. So let me finish with this. You may say, that is really helpful, Matt. Well explained. Good job. What does that mean? Well, listen, if Jesus is a shepherd, what does that make you? Sheep. Now, for those of you that know me, know that this is not my area of expertise. Animals are not really my thing. But I know this. If you lose a cat, or if you lose a dog, or if you lose a horse, they will find their way home on their own. Or they will live in the wild. Most animals are survivors, but not sheep. Set a sheep loose and you're in trouble straight away. They have no sense of direction. They're quite fragile, apparently upturned. They cannot right themselves. And they simply follow the sheep in front of them, but none of the sheep actually know where they're going. And Jesus delightfully calls you a sheep. It's quite humbling to be named after a rather stupid animal. But Jesus is doing something very clever. He's inviting you to humble yourself and to acknowledge that you don't know the way. It's interesting, in Britain, all the sheep that you see are largely reared for their meat and their wool. But in Palestine, when this story was originally told, they're kept mainly for their milk as well as their wool, which means the sheep tend to live a lot longer. And it actually means a personal relationship develops between the shepherd and the sheep. The sheep are given names and they respond to the shepherd's call. And if you've watched sheep trials, you know how difficult British sheep are to direct. And it's because British shepherds tend to drive their sheep from behind. But in Palestine, it's a lot easier because the shepherd leads his sheep from the front. And so your job is just to keep your eye on the shepherd. Without the shepherd, the sheep are in big trouble. And so I guess my question that I would love you to dwell on as we sort of move into our sort of next phase of this service is Jesus the good shepherd leading your life? Like, who's the person in front of you that you are following to live this life to the full? A few years ago, when I was living here in Beeston, really sadly, a neighbour that we got to know was very close to death. And he asked to see Pip and I, and I asked him what he wanted me to do. And interestingly, he wanted me to read Psalm 23 to him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. And I believe God has put a quiet desperation in all of our hearts to have a shepherd that can lead us somewhere. I think there's a longing in all of us for that. And Jesus wants to be that shepherd. He said this in Matthew 9. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So the shepherd calls your name today, and I'm going to ask you if you want to read Psalm 23 with me. And we'll just read it out together. And perhaps as we read, you just want to reflect on the fact that perhaps Jesus could be your shepherd this Christmas. So could we have the next slide? So I'll start reading, and then could you just join in with me? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. The band are going to make their way up in just a moment, and they're going to sing a song to us. And yeah, do you guys want to come up? And the idea is that you can listen to the words, you can have a moment to reflect on who the person it is that you're following. And also, we just want to bless you. We have got some Christmas decorations for you. And so during this song, if you want to make your way up to my left and right, just take one of these lovely wooden Christmas decorations to take home with you as the band sings, then you're really, really welcome to do that. Thanks so much for listening, guys.